of people. Originally, our attempt to do another set of experiments with parsing multiple languages. So we decided to make it fast. These are not our results. These are results from Connell shared task on dependency parsing 2006. And it's just an illustrative table, rather motivation example here. These are a bunch of different dependency parsers in the columns and several languages, or you could say several various tree banks for various languages in the rows. And the obvious question is, if there is for one parser, if there is a higher number in for one language and low number for other language, and if you observe the same tendency across several parsers, does it say anything about the language and its difficulties or not? And the obvious question is also an obvious answer: no. Because if you look at the tree banks, even briefly, you realize that there are many differences, not just in languages, but in other respects as well. So, first of all, there are huge differences in data size. Some of the tree banks are very small, the others are quite large. So, the first obvious reason why some numbers might be lower than the other numbers. Also, the test data used for the Connell shared tasks are rather small, so again, there's good chance that there will be a deviation, and for different test data of the same size, you'll get completely different results. Then, of course, language differences are also one of the important aspects. There are also domain differences. Some of the data are from spoken data, verb mobile corpus, for instance, which consists mainly of transcriptions of spoken negotiations about meeting points and times. So these are rather short sentences, probably easier to parse compared to newswire text or even popular publications with longer philosophical, possibly, discourses. So that's much more difficult to parse. And then the main point we are going to focus on today are annotation style differences. And you will see that there are many differences in the annotation guidelines of tree banks, which could be responsible for quite a large proportion of the differences in parsing accuracy. So our task was to try to gather data for as many languages as possible, dependency tree banks only, but some of them are not natively dependency based, to look at them, analyze them as closely as we can, and find all the style differences that we are able to recognize. Then to try to unify the styles so that we get a set of multilingual dependency corpora with a more or less same annotation style, which we call normalized tree bank or tree banks. And then the second part of the task was to try all the alternatives that we learned that are possible, or maybe others that we just invent, to the unified style, so make transformations of the normalized corpus, and to see what it does to the parser and to the parsing accuracy. So that's the second part of the task. And along similar lines, also our today's talk will be divided. So the first part will be mine about the data we have, overview of all the style differences we were able to find there and the normalization steps we did. And then I will give the floor to Martin, who will talk about the transformations we tried and the experiments. But because of the complexity of the task and because we realized that some of the transformations don't give us promising results, at least in the preliminary experiments, we only focused the experiments on coordination structures. Which is not to say that we wouldn't do anything else in the future, but we just were not able to do more this time. So these are the languages that we either have, or at least know that we could have them. Most of them are available under acceptable license terms, either for free or free for research purposes, or are available for the members of the Linguistic Data Consortium, so for UFAL people as well. I think the only notable exception is the Chinese Sinica Tree Bank that we have the license, but it's not publicly available for free for research. So there have been many different sources of the data, the Connell shared tasks being the most prominent ones. So the Connell 10 or Connell 2006 shared task featured 13 languages, 12 of them kind of officially, Bulgarian being introduced later to the shared task. Then next year's Connell, a different set of 10 languages, some of them occurred in repeatedly, so these sets overlap. And sometimes having a language in 2 years of Connell doesn't mean having the same data. Usually they upgraded it or even chose completely different tree bank. Then there was Connell 2009, which focused on semantic relations, relational learning, but it also included dependency parsing on the surface level. So again, these are data that we could use. These are usually much larger than the previous years of Connell. And for some languages, like Chinese, it was completely different tree bank. Before it was Seneca tree bank from Taiwan. This time it was converted Pan-Chinese tree bank with different tags and annotation style and so on. Also for Japanese, the Japanese data from the previous Connells, or from Connell 2006, I guess, was the Verbmobile data created in Germany. This one was something from a Japanese commercial company. I don't remember the name, but anyway, this is the only data set that cannot be used anymore, that has restrictive license, and you ought to remove it after the shared task, so it's over. Okay, yeah. Then there is the ICON contest in India, 2009 and 2010, which focused on Indian languages, but again, it provided data sets for three Indian languages. For two of them, it was rather small tree banks, Bengali and Telugu, while Hindi was moderate size. Again, it was available in their own native format as well as the Connell format, so easy to use along the other tree banks. And then there's a bunch of other languages that can be found on the web and downloaded in various sizes and qualities. So, for instance, there is the Perseus project with ancient Greek and Latin data modeled quite similarly to the Prague dependency tree bank. The Basque tree bank is actually an extended version of the Connell tree bank, which we got just by emailing someone in the Basque country. There's Hebrew and Icelandic historical Icelandic corpus, which is phrase-based. So we would have, in order to use these two, we would have to convert it to dependencies. Most of the others. Also, Estonian was phrase-based. Most of the others were available in the dependency format, one or the other. So we might have had to convert the format, but not to find the dependencies. No head selection procedure was involved. Russian tree bank from the people in Petersburg, I guess. Romanian tree bank is again downloadable from the web, and so on. Tamil tree bank is our in-house product by Loganathan. So this is the division of data according to the their original format. Most of them were natively dependency-based. Some of them, as I told you, were originally phrase-based, but are converted to dependencies, like English is the most notable example. I'm also quite sure about Bulgarian, and I believe it was the case of Danish and German. I'm not sure about some of the others. And as you can also see, there are 7 tree banks that are pretty close to the product dependencies tree bank style, in addition to the 3 tree banks created here in this building. There were quite a few others that were so inspired by the work that they did it almost the same style. So I guess this was a list of something like 31 languages. Out of that, we were not able to do anything with these 3. For Chinese, it was just because lack of manpower and effort to decrypt the documentation and so on. In the case of Hebrew and Icelandic, it would be much more effort because of the phrase-based to dependency-based format conversion. For the other languages, the level of success or quality of processing still varies, because for some languages, although we applied some normalization scenario, we still know about issues that have to be solved. So this is still a work in progress. Now, some statistics about the corpora. From the point of view of data size, you can see that it's very different. Maybe I should have opted for logarithmic scale here. Largest tree bank by wide margin is English pen tree bank, almost 1 million of words. The reason why you don't see Czech with the column of same height is because the kernel data only contains a part of the product dependency tree bank. So not all the data we have is has been included there. And because we are working mostly with the kernel data, if available, for the purpose of comparability and so on, so we have just slightly more than 400,000 tokens here. So this is still in the set of larger tree banks. Then there is quite a few tree banks that have something like 100 to 200,000 tokens, and a couple of very small corpora that are just better than nothing, because there's nothing more for that language. In terms of sentence length, which probably is somehow related to the domain of the tree bank, but also to the language, the most prominent here is Arabic, Prague Arabic Dependency Tree Bank, with something like 38 tokens per sentence on average. Then it differs according to probably the average in the language. And some of the rather low ratios I wanted to point out is, well, Romanian, it's probably because their unit or their segment is not the whole sentence, but rather a clause. So they erased all the punctuation marks and separated segmented clauses, and you would have one tree per clause. So then obviously it's smaller. For Telugu, my suspicion is that they have so long words and they probably even collapsed chunks together to one note, because in the documentation they say that for Telugu and Bengali they only have dependencies between chunks, not between surface words. But because I don't speak either of the languages, I can't verify anything of it. And then non-projectivity. This is an interesting figure. For most of the languages, you see what has been published for Czech. 2% of tokens or nodes are attached non-projectively. And more or less similar thing is in other corpora. Some of them are almost projective, but no tree bank where I tried to measure this. I don't have figures for all 31, but no tree bank was completely projective. Always there were at least a dozen of non-projectively attached tokens. It could be that actually according to their annotation guidelines it was an error, annotation error, because also some of the tree banks had cycles inside, so maybe this is I can't deal with cycles, so I just had to remove them somehow. But I could work with non-projectivities, so I didn't try to remove them, but maybe these are also errors in these tree banks. On the other hand, ancient Greek, 19%. Latin, 7%. I will show you an example later. And also Dutch is quite high, and Turkish is quite high. But for Dutch and Turkish, I think it might be also because of their some of their annotation decisions. While maybe for Latin and ancient Greek, it's also related to the nature of the language. Now, I have to apologize. We just a couple of minutes ago realized that the light gray edges in the trees will not be visible here. So if it turns out to be really important, I will try to draw them in the whiteboard. But anyway, this is kind of a normal example of non-projectivity as we know it from Czech tree bank and as I saw it in many other languages. Like you take one element and shift it a bit in the word order, although you still, according to your annotation guidelines, you still want to have it attached to something that became non-projective. Like here, up to the chair of the parliament, this element that somehow emphasizes the chair is moved here, so this edge is non-projective because the parent of the chair, the preposition, is between those two. So this is kind of normal non-projectivity that we see usually. On the other hand, and now I'm really sad that we don't see the edges. This is also great. Můžeš to držet trošku. So, let me just... It's also not much visible. Děkuji. Okay. No, that's a destiny. Anyone else has a marker here? I don't think you need to understand the example. Just notice the shape. This is something straight, a zigzag line. So you have elements on both ends of the sentence interconnected somehow. So this is something really strange for me. I've seen that, and I didn't try to inspect the ancient Greek because I would understand it even less than this. But anyway, this might be, unless this is an exception, this might be a sort of explanation for why Latin has so much more non-projectivities than the other languages. Okay. So, that was for non-projectivity. Another thing is morphology. Here I'm already showing you a PDT-like morphological tags, which were converted from the original annotation. So this is not the original tags which were present in the Latin dependency tree bank. We had to convert them somehow, at least the part of speech part of the tag, because during the normalization effort we had to be able to say at least whether something is verb or participle or noun. So some of you may have heard from me previously about the Interset project, where I tried to unify all the features that are usually encoded in morphological tags. And now we used it for unifying or decoding the morphological or part of speech tags in most of the tree banks. So although we don't have complete Interset coverage of all the languages, at least we have a basic decoding procedure for most of them. So we are usually able to say the part of speech, sometimes the other features as well. And having that and having the complete driver for the Prague dependency tree bank tag set, we are able to show to the user something that many of us are used to see. So tags like this that resemble the Czech part of speech tags but may have different combinations of value. Of course, for many languages, this will be lacking some information that was present in the original data. So normally, internally, we keep all the information that was found here, but we keep it in a unified way that can be queried. While this is only something for quick reference for a user who is used to the PDT tags. Now, when speaking about morphology, I also have to mention the source of morphology in various tree banks. Not surprisingly, some of them have manual morphology while others don't have it. Sometimes we don't even know. But usually it's a gold standard manual morphological annotation, which is good for the inspection of data, for any transformation effort. On the other hand, it makes any parsing experiments less realistic. We know about it. We would like to do our experiments later with automatically assigned tags by a tagger, but so far we have not been able to do that. That's because the effort needed to get all the taggers for all the languages and train them and so on. For the blue mark languages, the automatically assigned tagging is already available, usually because it was part of the Connell 2009 data, where this was part of the default. And for Hindi, I guess they have in the documentation that it's automatically assigned. For Finnish, Honza Štěpánek realized that it couldn't be manually assigned. And for Bengali and Telugu, I'm not completely sure, because I think the text may be manual, but these are again chunk texts, text for whole chunks of the segment, not just single words. No, then something completely invisible. One thing we don't touch, even though it's not unified in the original data, is tokenization. Sometimes you have multi-word expressions collapsed into single tokens, like in this invisible example, it's from Catalan, there's a partir de, so a compound preposition from three tokens joined by underscores into one token, six de la matinada, sorry for the pronunciation, something like six in the morning, I guess, has even a lemma telling you the question marked date and then the time. But again, it's one named entity and one node. We don't break it, although in many other tree banks this would be 1, 2, 3, 4 different tokens with artificially defined internal structure. On the other hand, in some tree banks you would find nodes with word form null, null or underscore or something else, which obviously is inserted nodes for something maybe edited or for other reasons necessary on the annotation layer. So probably in this Hindi example it was because of elision. There was something like on the day of Diwali they gamble but in the house or hotel. So there should be but they do so or something like that. That's my interpretation of the null node here. Again, this is specific to some of the tree banks because they decided to go a bit farther towards a deep layer annotation, while the other tree banks just didn't try to do that. They have one-to-one mapping between tokens and the nodes of the tree. And if we wanted complete harmonization of the data, we would have to decide for one or the other approach across all the languages. Obviously, this is not possible unless we do that manually, which is not what we wanted. There is also a whole range of different text sets for the dependency relation tags or labels. From the Prague style tree banks, you know, the Afun's analytic functions like these. Many of the tree banks that are modeled after PDT have same or similar set of labels, but the labels could be sometimes very vague, like just saying this is a noun object and not even knowing whether it's really argument, something valency based, or just a noun dependent on something. For instance, in Danish, this was for a whole set of different functions of noun phrases, including nouns below a preposition and so on. On the other hand, you could have very specific and language dependent functions like phrasal genitive in German, meaning that you have a fun prepositional phrase instead of real genitive. So obviously this is something that could be annotated in German and maybe in some very related languages, but wouldn't have any meaning elsewhere. And also something interesting from the Hyderabad Indian tree banks, they have these karta, karma, karana functions that source from the Paninian grammar, and again these are kind of closer to the deep layer annotation. So you already have terms like agent, patient, not necessarily object and subject. And now, the last part and the main part I wanted to show you, unfortunately without the arcs, are the structural variations. So far we know about these six or seven groups of problems, some of them rather large. And what we try to do during the normalization procedure is we try to first, obviously, to automatically identify them, which usually is more or less possible because of the morphological annotation and the dependency relation labels and the mutual structure. And once identified, we try to restructure them and relabel them as in PDT. So the set of labels we use is more or less the set or subset of the labels used in PDT. And we also try to have the structure as similar as possible. The reason for picking the PDT style, one of the reasons is obvious. This is our home environment, so we know it the best. It also turned out that for some phenomena like coordination, it provided more expressive power than some of the other annotation styles. On the other hand, some phenomena are specific to languages other than Czech. So, for instance, if you have infinitival markers, like to do something, the to is an element that's not present in Czech, so it doesn't have its own analytical function and clear guidelines where to put it. So we had to apply some heuristics to do that. And we again, we tried to do that the same for all languages where it's applied. So for Swedish, Danish, even Bulgarian. So, I will try to tell you what's invisible in there. I picked Danish as the first thing and as a special category because this tree bank is real special. Exotic, I would say. You can see things like a numeral, cardinal numeral, governing adjectives and nouns. Don't ask me why. I heard someone hypothesizing that they originally had a phrase-based tree bank and then they just tried to pick the first token in every noun phrase as the head. I haven't tried to check whether this would be true, but it appears to me that some rule of that nature probably was applied because it's not even consistent. Sometimes adjectives are attached to nouns, sometimes not. But two known Russian historians annotated this way seems strange to me. Same thing here. A preposition, a determiner, an authoritarian regime, and again, the determiner is the head. Strange. But fortunately, it's identifiable and hopefully restructurable. Now, prepositions. Usually, a preposition is the head of the noun phrase. So this is a Czech example on during celebrations. Sometimes, usually, also, I think in the majority of cases, if there is any modifier of the noun, then it's attached to the noun, but not in German. In German, again, probably because of conversion from the original phrase-based structure, the preposition is the head of the whole thing, and this is a modifier of the whole thing, so it's attached to the preposition. So in diesem Jahr, in this year, is annotated as both the adjective and the noun modifying the preposition. The only example where I was able to find the preposition attached below a noun, in this case actually it's a postposition, was Hindi, which surprised me. I thought there would be more than that. But again, this is easy to just swap. Subordinated clauses. I'm not talking about those where you have relative pronoun, because then the relative pronoun is usually filling a slot in the valency of the verb of the related clause, and the predicate of related clause is attached to the main to the governor somewhere. But once you have a subordinating conjunction, sometimes the conjunction is attached to the verb, like here in the Spanish, que se fijen, that themselves fix the elections when the elections are fixed. In other tree banks, you would have the conjunction between the predicate of the related clause and the governor. Verb groups are a large group. There are very many different phenomena here and construction, and these are usually very dependent on the language, but there are some repeating patterns. Often you have a finite verb form together with a participle or together with an infinitive, and sometimes there can be modals too. So this is one example from I guess Italian, and one example from Dutch. In the first example, you have a participle as the root of the subtree, and there is another participle here, the Wouter had to be or something. This is the subject, and in the other example, you have the participle here, down here, but the modifiers of the verb are attached to the participle. Sometimes it's normal, because if it's a valency of this verb, then it's logical that it would be attached to this note. Sometimes if these are only adjuncts or maybe subject, they would be in some languages attached to the finite verb, while in others they would be attached again to the same node here, which creates non-projectivity sometimes. So this could be also one of the explanations why Dutch was one of the languages with high level of non-projectivity. Things that you could deem technical, like punctuation, are nodes that occur very frequently in the data. So if you are measuring parsing accuracy and you include punctuation in it, then you have to look at it. I was surprised to find out that for final punctuation of the sentence, there are at least 5 different ways of attaching it. Plus, there are 2 tree banks without any punctuation removed on purpose. So that's the 6th approach. If there is paired punctuation, like quotation marks, parentheses, even commas, then usually they are attached to the same head as the element inside of the paired punctuation, but not always. Sometimes they are attached one layer higher, like here, Hillary Clinton, Hillary and Bill Clinton are in the brackets, and for some reason the brackets are on one level higher than Hillary, which again adds to non-projectivity. I'm not sure whether it could create a new non-projectivity, but definitely if there was one already, these are more nodes that participate in it. And then for Italian, invisible line here, this is an Italian example where you just have punctuation attached to the note that is the closest one to it, usually to the left, and if it's paired punctuation, then the starting symbol is attached to the right. So here's mondo giusto as the phrase inside quotes, and just the first quote is attached on this level to mondo, the second to giusto on this level, and that's it. So that's technical. That could be modeled by a couple of rules, but again, a statistical parser probably would not be able to find any rule about how should the head of the punctuation symbol look like, because it could look like anything. And then there is coordination. I know that Martin will have better pictures for this, so I'm just showing you what we found in the tree banks. Martin will be speaking about what we tried to model during the transformation steps. So there are at least four different main families of coordination structures we found. One of the families we called Melchuk, because all of the annotations we put into this class have in common that you see a chain of the conjuncts. Sometimes the conjunctions are part of the chain, sometimes they are attached to the previous conjunct, like in German. Sometimes they are attached to the next conjunct, like in Swedish. Sometimes the chain could be right to left because of the nature of the grammar of the language, like in Japanese. Then there is the Prague style, where you have the conjunction as the head of the structure, and all the conjuncts are siblings. And you can also have labeling differences, like here, the function of the whole thing with respect to its parent is found at the conjunct. And you also have a suffix or some marking of some sort that tells you that these are conjuncts and not a shared modifier of the coordination. While in others, like here in Telugu, you would have the function of the whole coordination at the conjunction, and these would be only telling you that these are conjuncts without specifying the functions anymore. Two strange examples. I would show you, show them to you if I had the edges here, but they don't really fall into any classes of the others. Probably they try more or less to model multi-conjunct coordination by a nested coordination. And then there is something we call Stanford style, because it's similar to what the Stanford parser would create. And the main feature of the Stanford style is that the first or one of the conjuncts, either the first one or the last one, is the head again, similar as with Melchuk, but the others are now siblings. So there's just two levels. And I also put the Danish style here, although it's, again, a bit different, because they, if they had more than two or more than three conjuncts, they would have the first one as the head, the rest on this level as siblings, but the last one would be attached under the conjunction. So it has more than, it has three layers instead of two. And the last family, exemplified only in the Hungarian tree bank, we call it tenier, because it, in some respect, it resembles what Tenier wrote about coordination, although it's not exact match. There is no internal structure at all. So whatever is the head of the whole coordination, that will become modified at the same time by all the conjuncts and also the auxiliary nodes. So you have a flat structure, everything depends on the head of the coordination. And if, for the conjunct, it shows the function. So if this was a subject of a verb, then all these would be marked as subject, and the auxiliaries have their own functions. So, that was the introduction to the data we have and what we do with it. And now it's Martin's time.
Everybody, Dan promised you there will be no animals, so I'm sorry, but you can see here some animals down. And this talk will be focused just on coordinations and the styles which are possible, how to annotate coordinations. So first I will somehow classify or summarize the topological styles, and also I will mention briefly what are the labeling styles. It was already mentioned somehow in Dan Stoll. And by the way, how many annotation style in dependency tree banks for coordinations are you aware of? Can you guess the number. Well, we saw here Melchukian and Prague or Pragian styles, so at least two, maybe, who knows, more styles. Okay, Stanford side the third. Well, okay, you can be surprised what the final number will be. And then I will also probably just shortly mention how the transformation or the algorithm, how to transform, let's say, from PDT style to Melchukian style, how it works. And a few words about evaluation, because that was our main goal, to evaluate which style of coordination is better for a particular parser. So, in a coordination, generally there can be several types of tokens. I've classified them into three categories, and the delimiters are further classified either as coordinating conjunctions or commas or other punctuation. So, conjunct, that's obvious. Probably this is the only category which must be present in all coordinations, otherwise it wouldn't be a coordination probably. But we can have coordinations with just one conjunct. It somehow may be elected or otherwise. As for the delimiters, I somehow classified commas and conjunctions together, but of course conjunctions can, there can be some semantic meaning, whether you say Peter or Paul, or Peter and Paul, it is something completely different. But from the topological transformation, I can sometimes need to have it together. And another type is shared modifiers, which is exemplified here. So if we have lazy dogs, cats, and rats, and the meaning is lazy dogs and lazy cats and lazy rats, then this is a shared modifier of all the conjuncts. So, if I want to somehow distinguish it, here Mary came home and cried, then home is modifying only the word came, so I call it sometimes private modifier, which is a new term. Basically, it's a normal modifier. Okay, but we have also special cases like embedded or nested coordinations here, John and Mary or Peter. So, the main coordination is John and Mary, here the conjunction, or Peter, but this is a nested coordination. Well, you can see it from a picture. And of course we can have also the shared modifier can be actually coordinated. So the meaning of this with this red color here is that both apples and oranges are big and cheap. And if I just delete the red rectangle here, it would, well, if there is also the topology you need, but it could also mean that just apples are big and cheap and oranges are probably small. And there are many other examples, maybe I will mention some later, but you can have coordination of clauses where it's no conjunction, so only commas, don't worry, be happy, keep smiling. You can have multi-word coordination, so as well as in most styles you must decide that one of the tokens, probably the first, S, will be the head of the conjunction, and well as will be dependent on it, but it's just a technical matter how to draw it in a dependency tree. You already saw in some tree banks they decided to put those three words together as one token. Well, and you can have a conjunction and conjunct in one token, etc. So, let's start with the classification. So, we already mentioned that we have some three main families of styles. Instead of Melchukian, I will probably call it Moscow, just to have Prague, Moscow, and Stanford. And what I want to compare on this slide is only those in red boxes. So it's just the configuration of conjuncts. What I consider is the property of family. So in Prague, all the conjuncts are sibling and the head is the conjunction. Here, the conjuncts form a chain and there could be or couldn't be the conjunction, and in Stanford is the third case. Then if you have a, let's call this a chain, you must decide what will be the head of the chain. By head of coordination, I mean the uppermost node, which will be the child of the parent of the whole coordination. So either the rightmost or leftmost. And this is for Moscow family, but similar you can for Stanford, you can also decide whether to have the rightmost or leftmost, and also for Prague family, but here the head will be the comma, not conjunction, which is somehow unfamiliar for us. But you know, in Prague style or PDT style, if there is no conjunction, then you will choose the comma as a head. But we can define also a style where the first delimiter will be the head. Actually, maybe there are more than just those styles. You can decide which will take the priority. Whether first take take the leftmost delimiter, or first look if there is a conjunction and then take the leftmost conjunction. And if there are no conjunctions, then take the first comma, probably. So this was not classified here, but you can go further and have more styles. And I invented another style, well, maybe someone before me also, but I call this mixed. And it's either leftmost or rightmost, depending on which side is the parent of the whole coordination. And the motivation is to have the edge from the head of coordination to its parent shortest as possible. So if it's here, it's the subject, so the parent is after this, I will have the rightmost conjunct as head, but if it's I see dogs, cats and rats, then it's the opposite case. And we can test it if this helps the parsing accuracy or not. Okay. These were family and head, and here a third question, how to attach shared modifiers. So, well, this is again for the Prague style, and here for us is somehow obvious that the shared modifier will be hang on the head of the whole coordination on conjunction, which is somehow technical mean how to say that lazy modifies all of the conjuncts. But if you have another mean how to say that this token is a shared modifier, here is the color, but you can have some attributes maybe encoded in labeling edges. So then you can also decide to have a shared modifier below the nearest conjunct. And actually, this is not common for Prague style, but it's quite common for Stanford style, and for the Moscow it would be similar. Actually, here is one problem, because in other styles than Prague family, they in the tree banks which use Stanford or Moscow, they usually don't mark whether a node is a shared modifier or private modifier. So we were not able to normalize it. In some cases we could guess, there are some clues, but in some cases we were not sure. So this is somehow another style where we don't care about shared modifiers, we don't distinguish it. But in the problem is that in Prague, if you decide, in Prague style, if you decide that shared modifiers are below the head, then you must distinguish it. You have no choice how to just don't fill this attribute, because either it will be here or here, which would mean that it's just private modifier. We don't need additional attribute for this in the Prague style. Well, another decision is concerning conjunctions. So whether the conjunction will be somehow, I call this between conjuncts, but I don't know a better name for this. But this is clear. It can be below the previous conjunct or below the following conjunct. And you can probably see that this and this is the exactly the same picture, but it's just a matter if you choose... well, I will show another slide. So, well, on the slide before, it was Stanford, a family, and a rightmost head. Here, I will show you Moscow and leftmost head. So here, there are three different pictures. And this means between conjuncts, that it's in the chain. It's one member of the chain. And for Prague family, there is only applicable style for this property with a conjunction. It can be only as the head. So we have somehow four styles, but the one style is applicable only for Prague family, and the three styles are applicable only, or the two other styles are applicable only for Stanford and Moscow. Okay. I was too lazy to draw a picture here, but punctuation can be handled in the same way as conjunctions. You can just imagine instead of and that here are the commas, and they can be also on the previous member, following member, or between conjuncts, or member, I mean conjunct. Sorry. So now here maybe you can see the answer for the question. I ask you, how many styles are you aware of? So I'm aware of more than 126 styles, because if I take that for Moscow and Stanford, those two, I have three possibilities of head, two of shared modifier, three of conjunctions, and three of punctuation, plus for the Prague, this is the one I have, three, and here is the only possible as head, and three, so that's it. But as I already mentioned, you can define different styles and times labeling variants. Actually, labeling variants and topological variants are not independent. This is quite important information, that it's some labeling styles are suited for a particular topological style, but in some ways it can be multiplied. So, okay, and here are the statistics in how many tree banks or which style they use. So here is just the projection on each of the properties, or you can imagine it as five-dimensional square or cube or whatever space. So here, if I just take, so how many Prague family tree banks? We have 13, and these are the tree banks where the conjunction is as head. And but you can see that, except for the one I invented just a month ago, there are examples of all the styles possible, but if you take the whole five-dimensional space, of course there will be zeros, because we have less than 126 tree banks. Okay. So, as you know, in dependency tree banks, usually the edges are labeled, or in the same idea, you can say that the nodes are labeled, and it's the label of the edge which goes up from the node. And the dependency labels, no matter what you call it, analytical function or dependency relation or whatever are usually somehow linguistically motivated and can be fine-grained or coarse-grained. But as for coordinations, you can either decide that you will have special labels for coordinations which cannot be combined with other labels like subject and object, or you can encode additional information whether some node is a conjunct into the dependency label. So you can have subject which is a member of coordination, meaning a conjunct. And also some additional attributes, like whether something is conjunct or shared modifier or coordinating conjunction, you can somehow deduce it or guess it from the topology and other labels. So probably coordinating conjunction, you can know whether it, a node is coordinating conjunction based on the part of speech tech. But there are cases where the same token, or sometimes with the same part of speech tech, is not part of coordination. So you must somehow distinguish those cases. And there are other questions you must answer to define a particle labeling star. So do you want to mark shared modifiers? Maybe it's already in the topology, so you don't need it. In a PDT style, you don't need to mark shared modifiers explicitly, but you need to mark conjuncts. You can also define a style which will be equivalent to PDT style, where you mark only shared modifiers and expect that if a node is not marked, then it's a conjunct. And in Stanford and Moscow styles, you can decide whether you want to somehow how to handle nested coordinations, and whether well, it will be proven on the following slide here. If you have big N cheese, cheap apples, so you can maybe have some additional attributes which will co-index that you will say, okay, ID of apples is, I don't know, 3, and here I will also have co-index 3 that those are together. And using this, if you put the co-index also here or not, you will distinguish what's the scope of the modifier. But that's not a Boolean attribute. You need, in general, more values, although usually there are nested coordinations only up to level 2, but in general. Okay, and Dan already mentioned on one slide that in mostly in Prague styles, you must distinguish whether the dependency relation of the whole coordination is stored with the conjuncts. So it means the conjuncts can have different labels theoretically, or the formalism doesn't restrict this, or with the hat. So the transformation algorithm, you must do 3 subtasks. First, detect where are the boundaries of coordinations, which is especially needed in nested coordinations. Otherwise, it's usually, well, you expect that the coordination is a connected subgraph of the dependency tree, although, as we saw before, the 10-year style there is not connected, but we haven't done experiments with 10-year style so far, so then it's quite easy. But for nested coordinations, it can be very difficult, and in some cases also probably not possible to do correctly for all combinations. And you need to classify the participant or the tokens and say whether it's a conjunct, comma conjunction, or shared modifier, or another type of token, which is, I don't call the rest, I don't call participants of coordinations. And those first 2 subtasks are usually done in, or I do it in 1 step, but the 3rd subtask, I have it is a separate subroutine where I have already detected all the coordinations, and I just take one after another and transform it to the target style which I want to have on the output. And I will show this on another slide. If here is a, this is a nested coordination, so I, for the detecting part, I go top down depth first traverser of tree, but I remember all the information on stack, and I start transformation bottom up. And the reason is, if you, I haven't drawn the picture here, the step between is that you take this token, we are transforming Prague to Moscow style. So this is the first conjunct in this coordination. So this will be the head, so this go here, and this token goes down, and this way we have solved the first coordination, and then you will solve the outer coordination, but you need to have this token netelefonuje here, and it will be the conjunct of the outer coordination. So just technically you need to do the steps in a correct order. So, well, this was all for the algorithm, and here are problematic cases where if I transform this Prague structure to Moscow style and then back to Prague, I can think of it as one coordination with multiple conjuncts, and I will end up with this. And or I can somehow guess that this is not multiple conjunct coordination but a nested coordination. But how to know this? Probably you will need some additional information. So this is the cause. Well, this is one of many causes why transforming something there and back is not identity transformation. You can basically say you can have errors just in the transformations. And I think this is maybe interesting also from the linguistic point of view, whether those two structures are actually different from the semantic point of view or not. If it was the case that it was Peter and Mary or Paul, so here is and here is or, then it's clear that it must be nested and you cannot just have multiple conjunct. But here there are two commas, which is somehow something like and maybe this means that those two tokens are somehow closely related together, but well, so I'm sorry, here is not the English translation, but it's one of the first sentences in Prague Dependency Tree Bank in our data set. So, well, it's an open question whether this is actually maybe not an annotation error. I don't know. So, I'm sorry, we'll let the question on end, but just to say a few words about evaluation. So there are two ways how to evaluate parsers on different transformation. The first, maybe the more simple, is to transform both train and test set sentences to the target style, train the parser on the transform training set, and evaluate it on the transform test set. And do this with different transformations and compare the final numbers. The problem is that some styles are more informative or contain more information. I haven't mentioned this so far, but probably you have already seen that the Pragian family, or especially the PDT style, contains most of information without additional attributes. And if you convert from two different structures in Prague style, can be transformed to one structure in Moscow or Stanford style. So there are less information. There is less information in Stanford or Moscow styles. So this is somehow not fair comparison. So there is another way where you transform only the train sentences, train a parser on those sentences, the same, but then you need to apply inverse transformation. So you need to have inverse transformations and evaluate the parser on the original test set. So the advantage of this is that it's more fair comparison, and you can, if you do this experiment and see that maybe Moscow style has better performance even after transform back to Prague style, if you, according to this approach, then it may be one of the reasons why, okay, let's release the next PDT in Moscow style. Of course, the opposite reason may be that if we know that we can store more information in the Prague style, so don't care about parsers when designing tree banks. But at least we can say to people who experiment with parsers, you can apply this transformation and it's already implemented and you will have higher accuracies. So, unfortunately, I have only preliminary results, so it doesn't matter that the numbers are so small you cannot read it. And the bold, maybe you can see some more black places. Well, maybe I can zoom it, but those are significant improvements. But the disadvantage why I consider this preliminary is that we did only the first type of evaluation. We are ready for the second one. I have implemented also the inverse transformation, but as you have seen, there are so many transformation and so many tree banks, so we need some time to compute it on cluster and so on. But and also there are other problematic cases where the round trip in transforming, let's say, from Prague to Moscow and back was not 100% accuracy of unlabeled attachment score because of some technical issues. Maybe there were some quotation marks which were considered similar as punctuation and shouldn't be. There were no nested coordinations, so there is still some space for improvements. Okay, so thank you for your attention, and we can start with question either for me or Dan.
Thing to do. So, questions? Yes, please.
How did you actually look for instances of coordination? How did you actually define coordination? I ask because you showed some coordinations in Japanese, and those resemble, as far as I understand the structure, the width constructs. So I guess you didn't include things like mum with dad in your coordination. And if you didn't, why did you include the to constructs in Japanese?
Yes, thank you for a great question. I will answer for the first part, that in transformations I care only about paratactic structure, so Peter and Mary, not hypotactic Peter with Mary. In the languages where it is obvious what is hypotactic and paratactic, then we just say, okay, let's just focus on this and maybe later it's for future work. But probably for Dan will be the question how to identify coordinations in Japanese.
We don't.
That's a very good question, actually. I didn't expect anyone to realize that, but I included the Japanese example here because there were occasionally annotations that resembled something like coordination, or I'm not telling it correctly. They looked like someone wanted to point out that this structure is different usage of the to particle than the other usages elsewhere in the tree bank. That was why I decided that occasionally it was probably meant as coordination. On the other hand, you are right that mostly it's somehow overlapping with the construction John with Peter with Mary, which is not something that we would process in any of the other languages. And we also didn't include Japanese in our experiments. So I just have it because I tried to inspect all the languages we had. But when we realized that actually the number of coordination structures that we were able to identify in Japanese was by the order of magnitude lower than in the other tree banks, and then we realized that it's probably because of this feature of Japanese, then we excluded Japanese from the experiments.
I was wondering about some really tough examples that you found in some languages that were really hard to transform into the Prague dependency tree bank. Maybe phenomena that don't exist in Czech, maybe connected with coordination. Well, I can think of, in English, maybe I have looked at and been frightened by a monster. So is there any problem transforming such a sentence into Czech? Then maybe gapping. Well, we have gapping in Czech, like John loves Mary and Bill Sue. So that would be easy, right? Or things such as below and under the table, where you coordinate prepositions.
Those the gapping and stuff. It would be easy if it was perfectly marked in the data, in the input data we had, and if we were able to identify it every time. To be honest, we focused on the most prominent examples that popped up at every other tree we saw. So this was things we focused on first. So if it's something that we didn't see, like different from what we know from PDT, we probably didn't even include it in the normalization scenario. So it's possible that there are things like that that are still hidden in the data and we don't know about it, and we don't know that it's different than it would be in the PDT style. On the other hand, if it is something that's not present in Czech, and it has some annotation in the original data, like modifier of a noun or something, then you just port the labeling of the edge, and the edge would just be kept. The topological structure would be the same as in the original English data. But one of the examples of something that's really I couldn't find anything similar in Czech was the infinitive markers, which is also, it was in languages that I don't understand. I just can guess what it means, possibly with the help of a textbook of the language or a Google Translate. So I had a tough time with the da conjunction or particle, how they call it in Bulgarian, which probably is something similar to the infinitive marker in Germanic languages. Possibly it's also something like subordinating conjunction. So more or less I treated it as a subordinated conjunction. But maybe a linguist who knows Bulgarian would disagree.
But I think those phenomena in English, like that you can coordinate just part of a verbal complex, like I have, and then past participle and conjunction, and then there is something passive. So that means being plus passive participle. That's quite common. Well, I wonder if you have a trick how to express it in PDT.
Maybe this is a good point. One of the disadvantages of the normalization is that we pretend that all the steps in normalization are independent, but they are not. You can have coordination in verb group, and you must care about the other phenomena as well. But just to start with something, we care about the order in which the normalization procedures are executed, and we try to look on the data, but there may be cases where if there are more phenomena which we want to normalize or transform together, that we must do this somehow jointly or know about the other phenomena as well. So, yes.
Maybe a small note that might have been part of the answer to both the preceding questions. We did not try to fix the errors, to add something to the tree banks. We just believed that the people built the tree banks and they knew what they were doing. And we just tried to get the information that was there and transform it. So if there was all these things are somehow like adding something more than there was in
then I don't care. But for the topology, we hope that we don't lose the information. So far, we don't have a proof of it, because a proof would be the round-trip transformation from the original style to our style and back, and counting the recall or the accuracy of the whole thing. So how much have we lost? And we shouldn't lose anything. But we were not able to achieve that with 100% accuracy, but then we realized that part of it could be attributed to bugs in the code. So we are still not sure. We don't expect it to be 100% in the end. Probably there will be things that we will never be able to recover completely, because maybe there are deviations from the mainstream style in the tree bank. Sometimes they use something different, and we just don't see it. So we could probably debug it and by looking at single examples, single trees, but that probably is not worth the effort. But we are not that far. So at this point,
I didn't mean labeling. I really meant the topological, whether richness in topology.
We would like to have as close to 100% information reproducibility or 0% information loss. But
maybe I can say a few numbers. These results are based on a transformation where the round trip accuracy was about 97%. For example, when transforming from Prague to Stanford and back. Now I've improved accuracy to 99%, and I hope I can get even higher. There is for example, here is one example where is an error in the round trip. And maybe I can fix this if I introduce new attributes in the here in the Moscow style. So then, hopefully, I can get 100% or very near 100% accuracy on the round trip. But the task will be much more difficult for the parsers. So we must somehow put both in to get the highest number for the final results. And also it's a question what labeling should be used
in training parsers. So here, the blue rectangles are conjuncts, but in Moscow style, they usually don't mark the first conjunct. The label is the label of the whole structure, and they mark only all other conjuncts. So this is also the numbers on the final slide are based on very nice approach where I just edit the is member information. But then I realized that maybe this is not suitable for Moscow and Stanford styles, where I shouldn't include it to the first member or to the head conjunct. So, and there are many more experiments which need to be done to check what's better. Another example is we measure only unlabeled accuracy because the normalization of labels is not in such a good state, so we could trust it or to evaluate it and put it in some paper. But it's an open question whether we should train the parsers with labels or without labels, if we just will delete the labels finally. Only what we need from the labels is the conjuncts and maybe shared modifiers information. But also with the shared modifiers, either we can have one bit to mark whether a token is a shared modifier or not, and let the trainer, let the parser to guess the information. Or we can just delete it from the parsing and training and have another procedure, maybe rule-based, which will guess whether a token is a shared modifier or not, and which will give us better accuracy. We don't know.
I have a comment. You may now feel disappointed that we finally didn't show you any numbers in the end. Well, you had them in the beginning, right? But one reason is that originally our preliminary results seemed to confirm what you would find also in literature, that regarding coordination, forget the Prague style and your parser will be happy. Because that seems to be somehow related to the higher complexity of that style and so on. But as we dived deeper and deeper into this web of structures and labels, and we tried to make it more precise and improve the round-trip accuracy, then the picture became more foggy. So now there is no single conclusion valid over many languages and statistically significant. That's why we don't have any conclusive results now, because as you're trying to make it more precise, you're making the task more difficult in the other styles as well. And maybe that will be the final conclusion, but it's too early for that.
So does it mean that you actually don't have any conclusion about the main goal of the work? I'm just trying to figure out whether you already have some conclusion or some hunch, at least, about whether it makes sense to transform actually the tree banks into unified style or not.
I believe it definitely does make sense, even if not for the parsers. It is quite fruitful for the human users of the tree banks to have it in a unified way and to be able to understand. Once you understand one tree bank style, it's advantageous for you to have all the tree banks in the same style. So at least this part of the work will be valuable, I believe. On the other hand, our original motivation was to see how much the transformation could help us with parsing. Now we are not so sure that anything will be helpful so much that we will use it for parsing in practice. But on the other hand, we have processed so many tree banks that at least we have something that we could normalize and we could use it for comparable evaluation of the parser. So even if you wouldn't use the transformations to say change all the coordination and training data
to style number 125, then train it, then parse it, then transform it back. Even if you skip all this circles, you still would have the normalized data, and you should be able to evaluate all the languages on the same annotation style. So you would have the same complexity, hopefully, and you would be able to even say that this parser is particularly good at something, attaching participles to main verbs. So I don't know.
Maybe here, the first transformation in this column is one of the Moscow family, which was in some previous work shown to have better parsing accuracy on PDT, but I think it was the work by Nivre and others, but it was on PDT 1, I think, version. And we have numbers for MST parser and MALT parser. So we have for five languages, there is a significantly positive change. And for this parser, there is, well, the question mark should be zero, no negative change. But more for most of the languages, there is no significant difference. And the average is here 1% of unlabeled attachment score improvement. But for the other parser, it's worse. So we need to improve the accuracy of round trip and also check other bugs. But so far we have not confirmed the previous work, which said that use Moscow style for parsers.
Okay, so I am afraid we have to stop here. Thank you very much for your presentation. And just for the Czech speakers, how coordination is intricate, I will quote here one example given by Jan Vodňanský. I just apologize to the English speakers, but Jan Vodňanský once asked two linguists to explain for him what is the gist of the joke in the following stretch. Dědečku, vylez z vany, nastydneš se a umřeš. Dědeček vylez z vany, nastydnul se a umřel. So that's coordination. Back to English. The next talk here will be given by our guest, Professor Miriam Fried, whom we still call a guest, but she's native, and she's already also from Charles University, being the head of the Department of Linguistics at the Faculty of Philosophy. And she will talk on construction grammar, which stems from Charles Fillmore's ideas. So thank you for coming today, and I'm looking forward to see you next week.